Certainly, this is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. It is a special day, a special time of being able to be together and to worship together as brothers and sisters. And maybe there's somebody else that has a testimony you want to give before I get started or anything you want to share. I know it's a special day for William. Did you want to share anything with us, William? Thank you. Yeah, it seems special to me that today's 50 years ago, the first time William attended an Anabaptist church. And thank you for sharing with us and your encouragement to the young people, because that's who I want to talk to this morning. Talk about, I don't know what to call it, my burden for youth. It could be called, youth is such a special time in life, and all times in life are special, are unique, and challenging, and but the youth has its own, and you know, you have the most energy you will ever have. You have it right now, and at the same time, you have the least experience you will ever have right now, and so somehow to get that burst of energy and lack of experience together. And to where it comes out for the honor and the glory of God. I thought about the soil and the seed in Luke 8. It's where I want to just start from. And just as a springboard, I thought of so many things. And I hope the chickens can make it, but I don't see getting out quite at 11:30. But anyway, I thought of Joseph, such a fine example of a godly young person. I don't know of anything in the Bible that speaks of any fault that Joseph had. I'm sure he was human, and I'm sure he did something wrong. But here was a young man, was rejected. He was by his own family. Think about it, young people, and your old people can listen in. But Joseph was rejected by his brothers, and you know, I think you can all imagine what it would be like if you're the oldest in the family. Maybe you can't, but if you're younger, and to think about how much you look up to your older siblings, and if they make you feel rejected, not wanted, belittled, and betrayed, and they want to just get rid of you, it would be horrible. And then to have Potiphar's wife lie about him. He was standing up for what was right. He was not caving into immorality, and then she lied, and he was thrown in prison and forgotten about there. And he came out, and his testimony in the end, it was God. I thought about Daniel, another similar scenario of taken into captivity, and he purposed in his heart to do what's right. Read the first chapter of Daniel, and God was with him. I thought of Timothy. And he's the one that has the verse we plan to, might as well talk about it now, where Paul told him, he said, let no man despise your youth or look down, belittle your youth. He said, but, and this can be taken both ways, I think, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Get your example from the older ones that you see are walking in godliness, and at the same time, be an example for them. I think that's what he's saying. But Timothy felt kind of intimidated. And I know William talked about y'all getting up front and being scared, and that's all normal, and there's no way to get around it usually, except when you get more experience, it'll help. But Timothy felt, and so Paul wrote to the Corinthians about when Timothy was going to come to them, and he said, don't despise him. Same thing, don't look down on him or his age, and but be an example for the believers. Well, back to the soils. There were one thing good about soils. Well, I'm going to just mention here in verse 5, Luke 8, verse 5, Jesus talked about this soil on the wayside. In other words, been along the path where people walked. They got hard-pressed, packed down. Some of the seed fell on a rocky soil where there wasn't much earth, dirt. There was thorns, and then there was the good ground. The weedy places, the hard places, The seed didn't get covered. The rocky, there wasn't much dirt. And the seed that fell among the weeds got choked out. And other things sprung up. Cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. It didn't bring to fruit. Well, talking about the soils here. And the good thing about soil is that it can be changed. And that when I was young growing up, I had no idea of that really. I'm glad that we've gotten a lot more aware of the soil. And if I hear somebody talking about just dead dirt, well, then they really have a problem, because dirt is not supposed to be dead. It's supposed to have millions and millions and millions of little biology in it, microorganisms that make the soil. Soils can be changed. You can get soil. I never dreamed of it when I was young, that it would be a possibility of just going out in a field and digging down and finding an earthworm. You could go out and find earthworms. You could go fishing. You always had to go to other places to find. But so what I'm saying, soils can be changed. And that's the good news for us as we're growing. Soils can be built. And that's what we want as we look into the few thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. I was impressed with the account of Jesus casting out devils in the man from Gadara. This man was uncontrollable. He lived in the cemetery. He was naked. He ran around cutting himself, yelling and screaming. And at different times, they would gang up on him and try to catch him. And so he was scared of them, and they were scared of him. And he hid from the people. People were afraid to travel in that region. And he would break the chains and crying out loud, cutting himself. But Jesus went to the tombs, and I think Jesus did it with purpose in mind. But you notice the difference when Jesus came, what happened? The man that we had just described came to Jesus. And when they found him, Jesus was this man that we described, the wild man. He was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Now, what does this signify? Clothed, sitting, clothed, and in the right mind. Well, if you're sitting, normally it signifies you're at rest. You find somebody that's, you know, like right now, you're resting. Yeah. You go to someone's living room and somebody's seated in there. They're at rest. Clothed. That signifies respect and dignity. And see, this is what happened when the man came to Jesus, and there's things that are important for all of us, but as young people. Respect and dignity. Our clothing tells a lot about us. Friday I went to a funeral from Deacon Roy up at the Buckeye Baptist, and I was just impressed with all the dignity that was there. A lot of men with suits on, and it just showed respect and dignity when they came to his funeral. I did see a couple, and it made me ashamed of my race, a couple of our race that were there, and they were not dressed respectfully at all for the occasion or for any occasion, and there was no dignity in it. You see, our clothing tell something about us, and I'm saying it shows respect and dignity. And in his right mind, he was able to use judgment and reasons. And these three things are of utmost importance in the journey to become productive and mature, socially adjusted, godly adults. At rest, learn to be able to sit still. Don't think you always have to be going all the time and every night. Get out of the house and find something to do, places to go and stuff to see, things to do. Learn to be able to sit still and be at rest. Clothed. Your clothing reveals what's on the inside of you. Judgment and reason. And we'll talk more about maturity later. Now, young people, I would like for you to turn to everybody can, but Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to ask the young people to stand and read that for us. Proverbs, the third chapter. we'll just divide the young people with those in the youth class. Proverbs 3:1-7. Would you stand, please? My son, forget not my law. Thank you. You may be seated. Verses 5 and 6 here are verses that I want to point out. But consider everything you read in this. The message could be from right here. The 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Verse 6 is one I want you to take home with you, carry. It'd be your takeaway for today. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct thy path. That's right. So young people, you're on a journey. You're on a path. And you're at the beginning of the journey. No, you're way past the baby stage. You're on up the beginning where pretty soon, it won't be long until you'll be heading out. You're charting a course of your own. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And I want you to consciously think about this today, tomorrow, when you look for a job, when you think of maybe going into voluntary service somewhere, maybe when you're thinking about teaching school, or when you buy a truck or a car, when you think of a companion. But go to God for everything. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Be God conscious in your life. Don't be like the donut in your car. It's put up somewhere. I'm not even sure where it is. Sarah and I were on this last trip, we came up through Mexico, and somewhere up there, somewhere in Mexico, I noticed that the light came on. I had a tire that was low in air. Oh no, I hope I don't have to dig a donut out. And thankfully, it's put air in it, and the leak was slow enough. We made it home, and I got it fixed in Dublin. But don't treat God like that. Don't wait until it gets so bad and, I need to go to God and find out what to do. No, go to him first. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Well, I want to talk this morning. I think I have about 9 things, and I'll try to keep moving, that I consider very important for young people to learn as you're on this path of life. As you have this burst of energy with the lack of experience, and I say that respectfully and kindly because we were all there. And you do well to listen to the older ones, your parents, because we've walked the road. We know where you're at. You're not on some strange new highway that nobody else has ever been on. And we're only here to help you. I'm here to help you because we love you, and we want to see you go right, and we know the difference on taking your own way and following in the way that your parents, leaders, the good Lord wants you to go. So several things that I want to talk about this morning I think are just essential for young people to learn. And I know these aren't all inclusive. There's a lot more. But number one I got is be respectful. Be respectful. And I say respectful, and it's a lot of these things, they aren't new. It's not something now that I get to be in the youth class. I've got to start being respectful. These are things your parents were working on you, well, I don't know, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, to be respectful. Hey, don't throw your toys around like that. It shows something. Be careful the way you take care of your possessions. And if you did miss out on it back then, you can start now. Remember, we said soils can change. But I think you have this one in good shape, but we all can grow. But how children treat their toys tells a lot about how they respect property and what they're learning about respect. How youth drive vehicles reveals respect or disrespect on multiple levels. I like to talk to youth about driving. I remember what it was like to get a driver's license. How many of you have a driver's license, permit or regular? How many? Let me see your hands. Oh, man, look at there. Oh, look at there. We could just talk about driving a while. Y'all like to drive? Oh, boy, that's a dumb question. But to say thank you and please, talking about respectful, holding the door for somebody. You walk in a place and you open the door to go in, you see somebody coming and you just step back, hold the door, say, come on in. And to see youth act like that is just a tremendous blessing, and it puts, I think it's a real witness for Christ. The way you talk to people, older people, younger people, the way you talk, the way you dress, it shows respect or disrespect, and we already talked about that. I keep thinking back of the hippie movement of the 60s when I was about 10 years old. And this was just rebellion against constituted authority. Most of the hippies had been raised in well-to-do families, and they were just tired of all the rigidity and the things on the outside. It made it look like everything was good, but it wasn't. And they said, "Fooey on it all." And they just hit the streets and would go just dressed down and just whatever. Let their hair grow long, and it was just disrespect. And now today, we still have what's called the grunge look, where it's studied dishevelment, to dress down. So young people remember, dressed respectfully, and you go to town and look respectful, it's a witness of the grace of the good Lord. I believe one of the greatest testimonies for Christ is when young people are respectful, and it tells volumes. Respect your parents. You know, the Bible says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with who? Your parents? Well, that'll sure help. No, that it may be well with you. It's a promise if you respect your parents. You'll get to the place you feel grown and you want to do things on your own. And you'll be at that place soon where you will of necessity make the decisions of life. And you know, you're getting to the place, especially like talk to the young men, you'll get to the place pretty soon. You're about there where there's two men in the house now, you and your dad, right? You've got to where you can think. I know, you know, logic and reason is still developing, but you can think and you're a man. But one thing I want you to remember, your dad's still dad. You're not dad. Be respectful. When you talk to dad about something you wish was different, can you just talk to dad and discuss it as man to man? And we could talk to the dads too, but they already know. And I assure you to the truth of Scripture that you need to respect, even if your parents are not what you think they should be. Young people that have, I believe you all have godly parents that want to do what's right, but I know there are young people that have parents that they can't completely follow, but the Bible is still clear to respect them, and it will be well with who? Same. You. All right, the second one is learn to discipline yourself. Be respectful, number one. Number two, learn to discipline yourself. And when you learn this, other people don't have to do it for you. Oh, if we could just teach them when they're just nestled right up beside their mama there. Wouldn't that be nice? Discipline yourself. But you can tell when when people are growing up, I like to think about this one. Usually get smiles out of people. You can tell when people are growing up, when children are growing up. Nobody has to tell them to get up is one way. I don't know what to call it. I'm trying to think of somebody. Okay, Shorty. We just say Shorty. That's a real generic name. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I can't think of any. I'm not going to use Johnny. Charlie. We don't have a Charlie here. You don't hear in the morning hollering up the stairs, Charlie, it's time to get up. Charlie, I told you it's time to get up. See, when you learn to discipline yourself, finally it gets to a point where you're big enough to get up when it's time to get up. I think youth are at that age already. Nobody has to tell you to fix your bed. Mama doesn't have to say, have you fixed your bed yet? I told you to fix your bed. Put your stuff away. Hurry up. Get done. Get the chores done. We've got to go. Aren't you ready yet? Now, don't sound like a nag after them, but I'm just saying that when you learn to discipline yourself, then there's a lot of things that you don't have to be told anymore. I wonder, discipline, thinking of discipline, do you think your parents always feel like doing what they do? Mama had a rough night with the baby, but yet she got up and made breakfast and did everything it took to get ready for school. Do you think she just felt like that? She woke up, man, I got to go. I got to get breakfast done. It's just a great day, you know? Not always. And it takes discipline. You will not always feel like reading your Bible. You won't always feel like praying when you get out of bed before you go to work and start the day. Jesus didn't always feel like doing what he needed to do. In the garden, he prayed, please let this cup pass from me. And the second and third time, it sounded like it was even more intense than that. But he said, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. Learn to do what is right even when you don't feel like it. Be a self-starter so your boss doesn't need to be a crank. And number three is to be a good steward. A steward is one who has been entrusted with another's goods. All right, we had be respectful, learn to discipline yourself, be a good steward. Let me ask you, who really owns the world? Come on, that's an easy one. Who owns the world? Greg, who owns the world? God owns the world, the whole world. What about Lawrence County? God still owns Lawrence County? What about the money that's in your pockets? Oh. See, stewards are one who has been entrusted with another's goods, and we decided that God owns everything, even the things that we call ours. And we're stewards of it. And it will make a difference if we remember that God owns it and we're to be stewards of it. I wonder what would happen if you gave your young sibling a $20 bill. I like to think of boys giving it to their little brother, but girls could give it to theirs too. Yeah, give it to your little brother and tell him to be a good steward of it. And he goes to town and they stop by, I don't know, I'm going to say, we could say Walmart, Family Dollar, doesn't matter. And he comes out with $20 worth of plastic junk. And he comes home, Jack, look what I got. This is real. And you're like, what? You use that money for that junk? Would you think he'd be a good steward of it? I wouldn't think so. And I know, and you've probably told you this before, but I remember giving somebody, a beggar comes along, somebody was wanting money, and they asked me for money, and I give them a $20 bill, and I tell them, because I was just a little bit scared, maybe they'd buy something they shouldn't. I said, look, that's God's money, and if you use it wrong, God's going to take care of you. It was easy to tell him that on that $20 bill, but I had a couple of hundreds in here. What about that? Was I that concerned about the money in my pocket? Okay, be a good steward. You live in such different times than your grandparents did. And ones people that were raised in the Depression. Brother Jerry just mentioned that the other night. There's nobody here. Very few people living anymore that were raised in the Depression. And it made a difference to those of us who were raised by parents who lived through the Depression. We were affected by it. And it seems like every generation has less and less things that they're concerned about as you get away from people who have been through hard times. That was when food was scarce. There was little money. It was when my dad had to leave home as 11 years old. There was just hardly money to feed and clothe him. Times have changed so much, and now we have lots of food and lots of money. And we have credit cards that help us to buy things that we can't afford and things we don't need with money that we don't have. But I tell you, young people, don't get in that credit card trap. Use number two. What was the second point we talked about? Discipline. And save your money. And then buy what you need. And you can do without some things until you save some money and get it. Instant gratification is another big trap, and it's not on my list here, but you don't need to fall in that. You do well to save your money, put some money back, and save for what you want. I talked to a young father a while back, and he was telling me how he was doing with his sons, and I really liked it. When they've got to making money, and there's not just one right way to do this, fathers as our sons grow up, but I like what he did. He gave his sons get the check, and a portion of it would go to the son for spending money for his necessities, what he needed. There was a portion of it was given for tithing money, and the rest of it was put back and saved. And if he got to a point that he needed, that he wanted to buy something, that he would need to go back into the savings, then they needed to have a conversation about it. And I just kind of like that approach to it. But be good stewards. Don't waste. Learn to save. Do I really need that toy? And is it good stewardship? And how does God look on the expenditure? And does it bless his kingdom? I told you that life is so different. Even 50 years ago in December that Sarah and I moved to Lawrence County. We bought a little place from M.C. Tapley over along around the Thundering Springs Lake. There where you turn off of Thundering Springs Road onto South Lake. We're just up there on the right. Had a nice little mobile home on it, a little lot, and we were living by the lake. It cost $11,000. Oh, 11,000, that's not much, right? Not what you make nowadays. And you have to remember, too, that back then I bought my first car, and it wasn't but about 2 years old, and it cost me $1,700. And it was a nice car. I wish I still had it. But now you're making a lot of money, right? You can make a lot of money. But when you go to buy the lot with the house on it or the mobile home on it, what are you going to spend? Hold it. I don't know if you get much anything. House and lot for less than 150, you're not buying a palace anyway at that. I remember back when I was just before we got married, I was offered to go to Pennsylvania to work for Mellinger Manufacturing Company, and he said he would pay me $3 an hour. I was like, hold it. I'm going to Pennsylvania. This was in the winter before we got married in July. And I went up there for a couple of months to make money, and I could even work some overtime, and he paid time and a half. And I thought, this is just rolling in into money. But you see, what I had to take, I could take that money, and then I had to buy a property for $11,000. Now, you do the math on what you get and what you're going to buy. I think I was probably better off. Anyway, that's a long thing on stewardship. Everything is so different today. Be frugal. Use your resources wisely. Don't waste. You should be saving now. If you're spending everything you're making at this stage in your life, I could just say you'll never be ready for the next step in life. And you'll fit in great to the American society of living in debt from hand to mouth and making minimum payments and figuring out on the items that you want to get if I can afford the minimum the monthly payment. And a person like that will be contributing little to the needs of the needs in this world. So discipline yourself and use wisely what God has given. Remember, it's His. And along with this, learn the joy of giving. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And I'm going to talk just a little bit more on this, and I'm going to stop because I don't have time to do justice to the last points. But I want to encourage young people to learn to give. Life, you know, you're born into the world where completely it was about you, me. We're born that way. We don't think about other people. Somewhere along the line, our parents are trying to get us to think of others, think of others, think of others. And then we get to where you are and where we start to get ready to go down this path of life. And, you know, we get a job and we make money and all these things. And it's so easy to say, well, when I get a lot of money, then I'll give. That's a wrong concept. If you don't give from what God has given when you're given little, you won't give when you get a lot to give, when you have a lot that you could give. And I think it's important that we learn to give and the joy of giving. Don't sit idly by. I think I bless my parents again. They would see to it that we had, when we were little, we'd have a penny or a nickel or maybe a quarter, have a little bit to go put in the offering basket. I think the offering is a lot more than just an efficient way to collect some money. But it should be part of our giving, a part of our worship. To give, we're given to the Lord. And teach our children that we give. And so when we get up to this age and even beyond, and there are so many things that, and we can give, and not just here, but give of your time and talents, energies, some of your abundant energies to learn to give, to share. And one of the things that impressed me with as I was thinking about this and our giving is just what we do here in church, how little of it is actually giving. I want to ask you something. How many of you give money to Walmart? You ever felt so good for the services that Walmart provides that you write them out a check and just send it to them? I want to give this to you. But how many of you purchase things from Walmart and give them money? Well, yeah, we all do that. But did you give it to them? No, you bought something from them. You received benefit from that money. You traded that money for some benefit that they had. Now, I'm going to try to make a point. And we'll start with our school offerings. Do we get anything out of the school? Oh, absolutely. Love the school. So when we give to the school, is that really just giving? We receive benefit back from it. And I'm glad we can give money for that, but we do get benefit back. Our aid offering today, do we get benefit from that? Absolutely we do. We get back from it. What about the general fund? Y'all like the lights and the air conditioner on? We receive back from it. What about when you send money to Christian Aid Ministries? What do you get back from it there? I'm just telling you, that's giving. And don't get me wrong, and don't run off on a side street somewhere, but try to get my point. What we actually give, it's out of our control. to be used completely for somebody else. That's giving. And I think that, I believe in our economy, there from every one of us, there should be something above just what it takes to keep us functioning as a body. I believe, and if we don't have money, we surely all have 24 hours in a day. We have time that we can do things to help. Well, enough on that rant. Do you remember what we talked about today? We talked about respect. We talked about discipline. And we talked about stewardship. I guess if the Lord leads another time, we'll talk about taking responsibility and being honest and trustworthy. And we'll talk about maturity, keeping a pure heart and mind, and standing on the principles of the Word. And the last point is choose to forgive. I'm going to try to be respectful to the clock and to your minds, and I would rather talk about it later than try to cram the rest in now. I wish you all God's blessing. Love our youth, and I just want to encourage you to serve the Lord. Just make it part of your life. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. May God bless you. I'll turn it back to Wesley.